Don't SSD caches have the same issue?
The SSD caches have the same issue, yes.
So we can argue that it has been done in the past with SSD caches.
And people have argued that, well, it is, you know, some data loss may be acceptable. Okay.
And then you can overcome that with some kind of replication in the future to another node memory. And
right. I think if we open up that direction, then we would also be expected to address how the performance is compromised if you're doing synchronous replication.
Well, I was not thinking on opening it up, but just mentioned that other solutions applied to SSD caches problem can be applied here without going too deep to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just as an argument.
Mm. Okay.
Because I believe that they must be already working on that.
Yeah.
For the second one, we need to get some numbers of latencies and assume that that's already enough convincing.
The second is why do you need both DRAM and persistent memory, and why and what to use DRAM for, what it's good for, which is fast access. And so if you want to direct as much fast access to DRAM as possible, and only the absolutely necessary access to persistent memory. And ideally, if you can make that in the background, even better.
Which part?
Any access to persistent memory, if you can make it in the background. Not, you cannot make all of it in the background, but whatever you can.
Okay.
So, for instance, I mean, we're saying that asynchronous writes are being written to DRAM. But in the background, if you could keep flushing that to persistent memory.
I agree.
Yeah. Bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that's one, right?
Yeah, because I was on my original design was asynchronous write would be flushed to persistent memory on a synchronous write. But they could be flushed in the background before that happens.
Yeah. Exactly. And then, okay, so that's the second concern, why DRAM and persistent memory. The third concern was related to, what was that? No, I forgot. So the first one was, okay, well, data loss. The second one was both tiers. And the third one was overhead. Right.
Yeah. For that, we need sort of a system to evaluate, right?
Right. We could estimate that by using the same numbers as what we use for concern number two, which is the latencies of access to persistent memory. But it's not complete.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, we would have to have times a sort of graph of size of the main copy versus time that it takes to main copy. And that main copy must include the time of flushing the caches. I guess
so
we can
repeat that.
I mean, if we had a graph that would plot size of the main copy, and I'm
into
thinking main copy
memory.
From DRAM to persistent memory.
Okay.
Time, and that time will include not just the main copy but the flushing of the caches to make sure that it's persistent. Then we could sort of estimate costs. I mean, using that graph, because we must write some extra metadata, but I don't know how significant it is with respect of the size of the data.
So one thing is that we are moving. Writes through the DRAM into persistent memory, right?
Yes.
The alternative, of course, is to directly write to persistent memory.
Yes, which is still in a main copy.
So I think it is important for us to to discuss
the two alternatives.
The two alternatives and the trade-offs.
Which I actually think there are three.
There are three, okay.
Because the first one is, okay, you move, the simplest to explain, you just move everything to persistent memory, the whole page cache structure. Like this guy was kind of doing, moving the Radix tree completely into persistent memory. Then the second one is the one that we were discussing.
Where we're talking about the page cache, right?
Whole
page cache.
The whole page cache.
Yes.
All the pages. The second one is the one that we were discussing, where we keep the whole page cache in DRAM, and we just keep extra structures in persistent memory, some patches that will contain the modifications of the pages in DRAM. So if there is case of failure, we can recover from that. But basically everything is still in DRAM.
Except when you do a sync operation, then everything gets moved to persistent
memory. I was thinking of keeping a copy in DRAM.
Okay.
So you can still have fast accesses later. So the idea that I had, the last idea that I had was to keep everything as it is, and then use persistent media as an extra data structure just to keep the changes. So then we don't need to sync to the if we lose power, then we can reconstruct again the page cache by using the pages that are in this that are clean, plus the modifications that we have in persistent media.
Yeah.
But every access will be at zero.
Okay, so that's the second alternative?
Yes, and the third one is just a tiering. You will have some pages in persistent, you have some pages in DRAM, and you move them depending on how hard or cold they are.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah. I think all three alternatives are worth considering, because the overheads of each approach will depend on not just the characteristics of the persistent memory relative to DRAM,
to the workload,
but also the workload. Yeah, exactly. So, for instance, how many overwrites there are, how much writes there are, that sort of stuff. So, if you want to compare these three alternatives, and it would be good if we talk about these three different alternatives in this paper.
Okay.
And
can we have a position paper without too many evaluation presenting all those?
There should be some data. It doesn't have to be a system built with evaluation, but there needs to be some data that helps to make the case.
Okay.
Right? And that's one thing, for instance, is the graph that we already showed you, I created using your data, right? Which is you have the Mobi bench replay.
Yes.
With
and without fsync.
With and without fsync. This is without fsync, and then you have non-blocking writes as well. Yes. Right? Something like that. So that is one way of... and the non-blocking writes, in some sense, it's using persistent memory for storing only the changes.
Yes.
But it's not, not exactly the same. It's the idea of a batch.
Yes.
Right, the patch, and
I mean, we can do better. This is what I'm thinking, because in this case,
so
you assume that all patches go.
We could
to,
do this somehow, or some maybe this or whatever.
Well, right. This doesn't assume latency of persistent memory, but it assumes. I mean, that will hurt us if we assume that creating those patches will take longer. But it also assumes that for every write, regardless of asynchronous or synchronous, you are creating the patch in persistent memory instead of just delaying it in the background.
What do you mean?
Because, let me think about it for a second. If you have... it cannot be better. It can be worse, though.
Can be worse
because of the latency of persistent memory.
Because sync operations take longer.
No. I mean, patches here are to DRAM. I'm expecting that creating those patches in persistent memory will take longer.
Aren't we creating patches for asynchronous writes in DRAM?
Yes.
So it'll be the same time.
Yes.
I think that.
But for synchronous write, we need to put them in persistent memory.
That's the other thing, which is the background writing of data to persistent memory. If there is enough, say, enough delay between two F-sync operations, then we could use the interim time to move most of the data to persistent memory in the background.
When you say background, you mean an idle core, right?
An idle core, that thread that, think of PD flush that is writing in the background to disk. Yeah. Now we have a PD flush that's flushing stuff to another PD flush. PPD flush, persistent PD flush.
Yeah, but the thing, the argument against that is that PD flush is actually just setting the DMAs and sleeping. It's not taking the CPU.
Uh-huh.
But here you have a CPU intensive flush.
Yeah.
But it's on the memory bus doing all the copies itself.
True.
So that would be a core that you could use for something more useful. I mean, an application or something.
I mean, ideally, there should be some kind of an alternate channel, I don't know, to directly move data from DRAM to persistent memory so that you don't occupy the core a lot, right? And I think that doesn't exist. Maybe it never will, but it could in the future. So I don't think it's completely ruled out that for you to be doing these background things. And the other thing is that you may have an idle core, you may have idle memory bandwidth for a given workload. If you're playing memory system call, file system oriented memory traces, then we probably don't. But if you take a real workload, there is computation going on. Memory bandwidth is not fully utilized.
But you still need the core, right? To each of the loads and
you need,
stores.
Yeah, you need at least one core.
That could be used for computation. That's the argument.
Yeah. You could use that for computation, that's true. But, I mean, one argument for these kinds of things is that, I mean, if you remember the I always forget the name of that, Flex SC paper. You remember that paper?
Yeah, the one that created different threads to create sort of a snapshot of the system, let it execute, and then if the system call failed, it would revert or something like that.
Well, that's rethink the sync. But this Flex SC paper is where they were doing asynchronous system calls by doing it in a different thread. So a process would issue a system call, it would just copy the arguments into some shared buffer and some other thread would execute it asynchronously for. That was the idea. So there, you know, they are making the argument that in the future, you'll have a lot more cores than you need. And you could use some cores. And this is also, you know, this argument has been made by not just this Flex SC paper, but other papers also, which I can dig up. So empty, idle cores are not a completely new assumption. So you could use that. But memory bandwidth, on the other hand, whether it's available for you to be moving stuff between DRAM and persistent memory, I think it's a different question. It's a more challenging question, which we need to get data for. So say that memory bandwidth, actually there is one paper, hold on. There is one paper which I read, which argued that memory bandwidth is not really utilized as much. And well, they had a bunch of data to show that.
I can imagine papers that deal with GPUs having the same issue, right?
GPUs?
Yeah, don't they need to move things from memory to the memory of the GPUs every now and then to compute in the GPU and move it back?
Right. This was not a GPU paper, though. This was a... Oh, wow. This was a paper at ATC or FAST. It was basically arguing that... What was it arguing? What was the paper about? Sure. Stanford, maybe. Oh yeah, Stanford. This is the paper on the RAM disk. You know where they have? I think we read this paper in the paper club, where they were talking about a storage side optimization, storage server side optimization, with the log memory. Do you remember that paper? Where you don't do it. It's lock structured memory.
Yes, they had different allocators, I think.
Yeah. Remember so in the lock structured memory, what they're doing is they're writing more to memory.
And then they had to clean.
And they argued that memory bandwidth is severely underutilized, and it is okay to do that.
At the garbage collection.
Yeah. But this is on the server side, okay? So we have to, but we can code some of that. So if you have sufficient memory bandwidth and you have idle cores, you can do this stuff in the background. Right? How do we, is there a correctness issue here?
No, if you have that PP flush, basically every time that you have a synchronous sync and a sync or a synchronous write, you have to block until that finishes flushing that page.
Okay.
And then you just write to persistent memory.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so can we make a list of the solutions we have so far then?
So, in this case where we are just flushing everything in the background and keeping everything in DRAM, and we're just keeping the changes in persistent memory, we're pushing persistent memory to the storage side. It's like a persistent cache, like an SSD would be. But instead of in bulk granularity, it's by granularity. It's not on the memory side. In the other solution where you move everything to persistent memory, then you're pushing persistent memory to the top, close to the application. Application is just talking directly to the persistent memory, not DRAM.
Mm-hmm.
And in the one that you're tiering, you're trying to still put one on top of the other, but they're not like, it's not acting as a cache, but as a tier system, both at similar level, I guess. Because application can access still persistent memory and DRAM, and it will try to access DRAM the most.
Yeah.
Because it's harder. So it's some way to motivate the tree architecture just by placing it in different locations in the system.
Yeah, I think it would be good to have those figures in the paper to support whatever we are saying. And all of this uses persistent memory. I think the focus here is the persistent memory is a cache for the file system. It's a persistent cache for the file system.
Yes.
Right. So the title, fast durable writes with persistent memory.
Well, on the tiering mechanism, when you try to put hot thing in DRAM and cold thing in persistent memory.
Yeah.
There, how do you deal with the persistence part of the cache? Because that architecture is most of having cheaper, assuming that it's cheaper, cheaper persistent memory and expensive DRAM that is most performant, and this one is not as performant.
Yeah.
So, it's just the same arguments of tiering disks. You have SSD that are more expensive and better performance than disks that are, and you just play with the hard and cold of accesses to pages. But it doesn't really account for the persistence and the volatile attributes of these memories.
Yeah, to use the persistence attributes, fsyncs would move data from volatile memory to persistent memory instead of moving from volatile memory to disk.
Sure, but then you cannot move back, right?
You can move back. Or you cannot move back because unless you flush it to disk, before you flush it to disk from persistent memory. So there is a requirement to write it out before you move it back to DRAM, if it's there in persistent memory. But persistent memory can also store clean pages. It's not just dirty. That's interesting. That's a little bit more complicated. I don't know if we should go in that direction and explore that direction, because I don't want to say no at this point, but it's at least I feel like I haven't given it much thought.
Yeah, I agree. The decision points to move are tricky.
Hmm.
I mean, that's an option. So I don't know if you just avoid it or present it without going too deep with it.
The other thing is to say, instead of writing to persistent memory directly, writing to DRAM and then moving it to persistent memory, what is the cost of doing that? So one way to think about this is in a percentage of overwrites. Absorbing overwrites in DRAM versus absorbing overwrites in persistent memory. So, and here on the y-axis we have, let's say, time to do something. And I'm assuming that as the amount of overwrites in average, so you write X amount of data, total amount of data you write, and this is the percentage of data that gets overwritten to make a total of X amount of X number of writes.
Okay.
So you would have there are two alternatives. One is write directly to persistent memory, and the other is writing directly to DRAM, and then move everything to persistent memory on an fsync. So for one, you'll have a straight line, right? This is for directly to PM. And then you would have, for the other one, you would have a situation where you first write to DRAM, but since you had to copy at zero, you'll have the cost, which is the additional cost of first writing to DRAM, right? But at some point, you'll have a break-even, because the overwrites are getting absorbed in much faster memory. And you're only writing the new data, the total or net new data.
Yes.
So this is one way to show this, but we'll need some data for this.
This is for writes. For reads, you expect that write is always better.
For reads, so we could do one for reads as well. That's a good point. So,
just two lines, but one is just slower than the other one. Two parallel lines.
Right, so I guess reads are somewhere here. It also depends on how much reads you're doing. Right, and this guy's up here somewhere. Now we could also do a total amount of time taken, which is the sum of these two guys, and then the total would be this plus this and this plus this.
And for reads, we're assuming no misses.
Assuming no misses, yeah.
For writes, thanks to not looking writes, we don't need to make that assumption.
And these, the amount of time it takes to write to persistent memory and DRAM, we can obtain it from previous published work.
Which time?
How much time it takes to do a write of a certain size to persistent memory versus DRAM.
Is that published?
Yeah. Well, latencies are available. It's not clear how real they are. It's all the multiple people have published latencies and so on. So we can just point to those papers and say, here's where we got our latencies numbers from.
Okay.
even. Yeah. So I have something at 10 o'clock. So, hey.
Should we wait for us?
Almost done. Almost done. Is Jason here?
No. I don't see him. So,
okay,
yeah.
Let me know when he shows up. Yeah. Yeah. So don't go anywhere. Yeah.
So what do we really need?
What we need is, I think, as a starting point, we need some pictures, maybe, which will present the talking points. And we need some kind of an outline for the paper.
And in terms of evaluation and that?
We can reuse the same data we have. We can reuse the traces, for instance, and do additional analysis with the traces. But we don't need an implementation at this point.
Okay. What should we do with the data?
You mean with the traces? So, for instance, one of the figures is this. The other figure, which we already have, is that one. We have a bunch of different traces, right? We can do that up there for each of those traces individually somehow, because each of those will have a percentage of overwrites and stuff like that. These are all different possibilities. I'm not saying that we should do each of these. I'm just thinking about the possibilities alone. Can we do anything else which is of a simulation variety using the traces? Assuming that persistent memory axes take so much time, volatile memory axes take some other amount of time. Can we replay the traces using a simulator?
When you say simulator, you mean cache thing or something like that?
Yeah.
Never use them, but I guess so.
That's the extreme end of what I think we should do for this paper. And SOSP is due at the end of March, right?
Yes. House storage is March 17th.
March 17th.
2 weeks from now.
Yeah. So we have to plan our time very carefully. And I sent a request to Intel to give you access to that machine. Yeah. So I haven't heard back from them.
Can we use data collected there? Not really.
What do you mean? Of course, yeah. If they give access to that machine, yes.
Because I remember one of my interviews with the Colorado people.
Which people?
The Colorado people. With
Intel.
Andy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him about if he would say anything about the latency that they use on that machine, and he said that he couldn't. Like, he said that.
Did you speak to Andy Rudolph, or you spoke to him?
Yes.
Okay.
He said that they have the machine, they simulate, they have some. They expect that they simulate that it's slower than DRAM, but the actual numbers he wouldn't be able to give. So, I mean, if we take measurements, we will get those. I don't know if we can use them. Even that.
It's programmable. We can set whatever latencies we want.
But doesn't it have a default, the one that they use?
I guess so. I don't know if it's that secret. I'm not sure, as this guy thinks. Not entirely sure. Yeah.
Okay.
So let's get started on this. If we want to make the submission, we
sure
have to be pretty aggressive.
Okay. Should we meet on Monday?
Monday may not be possible. I can meet via Skype on Monday. But Tuesday, I can meet.
Okay. Tuesday, what time?
Tuesday, 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock on Tuesday, or